Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, John Edwards is apparently topping himself after his, remember his Be Healed speech when he said, if we are elected, people in wheelchairs will walk again. Remember that? That's pretty wild, huh? Well, now apparently John Edwards is claiming that if John Kerry is elected president, Christopher Reeve will be raised from the dead. Now, did he really say that? No, he didn't really say that, right? I think my producer slipped me something here. This report, this isn't an Associated Press Wire report. This came off of a 1960s typewriter. Come on. This just isn't real. This can't be true. I'm going to retract it. On our website at kgov.com. Right on the homepage, we have on the right side, we have our gallery and Bob's writings, and we have our errata page. Errata, for the public school teachers out there, that's E-R-R-A-T-A, errata. That's the errors that we've made that are significant that we've had to correct. And so should we add this to our errata page? This came from Kinko's in West Texas. Oh, brother. This is not a true story. Okay, it's a make-believe story. I apologize to the audience. The producer responsible for that story has been sacked. Okay. All right. I wanted to talk about our seminar we had recently in Pittsburgh at Pasqualina's restaurant. What a good time we had. And there were people of all different persuasion stripes, you know, Protestant, born-again Christians. There were Roman Catholics. There was a young guy who grew up in a liberal household and was, I'd say, at the least noncommittal regarding Jesus Christ. And I wanted to share with you in the audience some of the things we talked about because they're interesting. Bob and Yart Live, we often talk about the evidence for God, that God exists, and we discuss from the laws of physics, the creation, from the biological life, human beings, evolution, the evidence against evolution. And if evolution is not true, then there must have been a creator for mankind. Well, there's evidence for the existence of God and the spiritual realm and life after death that's not quite as grandiose, but to me it's really interesting. And it's the strange quirks that we human beings have. We have quirks. Now, we could look at the really noble aspects of the human being, the human species, Homo sapien, as compared to other living creatures. You know, plants cannot build bridges to span continents. Europe and Asia has been spanned, right, by bridges, yeah. Plants don't do that. But human beings, we have reason, intellect, we have consciousness, we're self-aware. Now, there's a debate as to whether or not animals are self-aware. That's an interesting debate. We could talk about that sometimes. But we are animals that stand erect with an upward gaze so that we look to the heavens. Compare other animals that, you know, look to the ground, like horses and hamsters and monkeys and moose and snakes and snails. Any other two animals that start with the same letter? Men are different in some extraordinary ways, but then in some really quirky ways. For example, many human beings have experienced during their lives at some point in time that they're afraid of the dark, or we have a fear of the dead, or we get spooked by non-existent ghosts of our ancestors coming back. Or people who don't even believe in hell or demons get this sense of evil or wickedness. We hide our bodily functions. We cover ourselves with clothes. Now, these are characteristically human behaviors, and if there is no spiritual realm, then these are really peculiar. They're hard to explain, since we have the greatest reason. Why do we have these quirks? Are fish afraid of the dark? None that I ever heard of or could imagine. Do mice fear dead mice? Are bears afraid of ghosts? Do dogs hide their reproductive behavior through modesty? I don't think so. Are horses ashamed when they relieve themselves on the trail right in front of another horse? Maybe right in front of Mrs. Horse. It's so gross, but to them it's not gross. You go to the zoo, do monkeys? We were at the Columbus Zoo recently with our kids. We were in Columbus, Ohio for a wedding, my sister-in-law. Beautiful wedding. Diane and Chris, and we had a great time. And the Columbus Zoo is especially well known for how wonderful it is for kids. So we have our three little boys, ages 3, 4, and 6. And we went to the Columbus Zoo. The monkeys, do they try to cover themselves up? Why are we humans with the greatest reason? Why are we the strangest of creatures if there's just the physical realm? So think through these things, like fear of the dark, right? Some animals might fear predators that they cannot see in the dark, but we humans suffer this widespread phenomenon that even when we are secure in our homes and have no thought whatsoever of intruders, we can feel afraid of the dark. We can wake up from a dream at night only to quickly turn on a light. What's with that? What is it about the unknown, the unseen, that strikes a chord in the human race? We have this universal fear of the dead, unlike animals. Animals might fear a predator who just killed one of their own. Here's my second cousin, and he's being chewed right now, and he's still alive. So I'm out of here. But fish will nudge one of their former fellows, who's now floating belly up in the tank. Other animals will walk nonchalantly over a deceased relative. Some will eat their own dead. That's weird. Humans, on the other hand, get spooked by dead bodies. I'm not talking about sorrow when one family member finds another dead. Of course, there may be sadness. I'm talking about fear, the eerie, creepy feeling that so many human beings get when they come upon a dead body, unless you get desensitized to it, if you work in a morgue or you're on a police department, you're a detective on homicide. But why do we exhibit this trait? We humans come with body, soul, and spirit, and our spirit is eternal. Now, I'm going to point out a number of quirks that human beings express and suggest that it's our spiritual dimension that helps us understand why we express these quirks. We are body, soul, and spirit, and God breathed into us the breath of life, and he put eternity into our hearts, and we have eternal spirits. We intuitively believe, as billions around the world have believed, and throughout all of recorded history, we believe that when we die, there is an afterlife. A dead body brings us as close as we will ever come to that next stage, until, of course, we ourselves pass thereby. We have a fear of the dead, which correlates to our fear of the dark, the unseen, the spiritual realm, where our eyes cannot penetrate, but where our innermost being, like it or not, directs our thoughts. And a dead human body, unlike a dead animal body, is our closest link to the hereafter, to that reality. If there is a God who made us with a spiritual dimension to have an awareness of this afterlife, then we should expect such behavior when we're looking at the threshold between this life and the next. If not, as animals do not look forward to eternity, then we shouldn't expect such behavior. But that behavior does exist, not in animals who have no afterlife because they have no spirits, but only in us humans. Think about ghosts. Perhaps a dead ancestor's roaming the halls. And the thought of a ghost gives human beings a creepy feeling different from the thought of someone is breaking into the house. That's completely different. Or of demons. And even people who don't believe in ghosts or demons will tell of an experience where they had this eerie feeling that something demonic or a ghost. And that's peculiar. We've achieved the highest reason among all living creatures on Earth, and here we are with these weird quirks. Think about our need to build an outhouse. Well, before we had them in the house, in the men's room, in the ladies' room. You know, so the horse relieves himself right on the 16th Street Mall, downtown Denver, doesn't give a rip about who or what is around, without nary a care in the world. Compare that with the enormous embarrassment that a person would suffer if he slipped in public and couldn't wait till he reached a restroom. I mean, this is a gross topic, but why is it so? Virtually any healthy human being, a third grader, a teenager, a bride, a businessman, a grandparent, would be mortified to be caught like that in public. When we went to Pittsburgh for the seminar, Does God Exist?, we visited a gal in a nursing home. In fact, her name is Cookie, and she's been in a nursing home for years. She hasn't got out of her bed in 5 years. And she's not old. She's not real old, just her body, arthritis has crippled her body. You should see her hands are so deformed, they don't look like hands. But she's such a neat gal. And I'll just give her first name, Cookie. And they let her have a cat there, which is really neat. The cat's, what the cat's name is Sunshine. And she wrote to me when we went to Pittsburgh for a seminar years ago. I forget, how many years ago? 5 years ago? No, more than that, 7 years ago. And so we went to visit her, and we sent out a mailing in Pittsburgh, and sure enough, she's still on a mailing list. She's still in the same bed there, the same room. And she wrote and said, if you could, please come and visit. And we did, and it was so neat to visit her. But she was so thrilled that we let her know that we were going there before we got there, because she wanted personally her own appearance, her room, her bedding, everything to be as clean and nice as could be. Isn't that neat? That was neat. And we had a good time with her. We were there for probably about an hour. And, oh, by the way, I asked Cookie the question I ask people in nursing homes. Because on Bob and Yurt Live, we have for years, for 13 years, we have told people that nursing homes are overwhelmingly destructive to families, to individuals, to society. They're an extremely bad phenomenon in human society. And what happens is parents get older and grandparents and harder to take care of. And it's so easy to institutionalize them because the government pays for it. And if the government didn't pay for it, a lot of families would figure out ways to take care of their parents. But I asked Cookie, I said, Cookie, are we better off? This is what I said. I said, Cookie, what would have happened to you if there were no nursing homes? And she said, I would have been so much better off. Even if I died at home, I would have been better off. This is hell. And she's a very bright, intelligent, neat gal. And, you know, there are some people who need medical care such that, I guess, that only a professional and professionals around the clock can give it. You know, if you're in intensive care in a hospital, you can't do intensive care at home. But so there are certainly circumstances where people need to be with 24-hour care, but what is the percentage of people in nursing homes that don't need 24-hour intensive care or professional-only service? 99.what% of people in nursing homes could live at home. 99.what%. I don't know exactly the percent. So anyway, it was interesting to me to ask her that question, because there we hear issues that we talk about on the air, and they meet the road when you talk to human beings who are in the middle of the circumstance. At any rate, why did she clean up? Right? An animal. Animals are animals. Well, some animals are clean. That's true. But they typically don't have the modesty that human beings have. They lick themselves of all things. Gross. But we build outhouses and then restrooms. And how is it possible that people are so universally abhorrent of other people knowing about this bodily function that happens to them every day? Why is that? Even when institutions like the military or prisons force men into community johns, there's resistance, and as soon as possible, they re-exert their privacy. Let me out of here. Now, why is that? You see, we have a spirit, and animals do not. And so we can look at our human body from a distance. There's a perspective that we can bring to our lives if we were not spiritual beings, we were just animals, then there's no perspective. There's nowhere we can go to look back at ourselves and be embarrassed, because that's who I am. It's like a cartoon character being embarrassed that he's a cartoon character. It can't happen because he's a cartoon character. He'd be proud of it if he existed. They don't exist. But we have a spirit. And so from our spiritual side, we could look at our body and be a bit ashamed or feel distanced from it. So when we get married, it's in the most public of ceremonies. And then we live in private. We build discreet homes to separate married couples from one another. Anciently, the Jews lived in the Bible days as nomads, and married couples had their own tents. It'd save a lot of money if we just lived like animals out in the open in temperate climates, or at least in where it's cold, just one large dormitory, fill up an auditorium with bedroom furniture. But that would not work, would it? It would interfere with our marriages, our relationships. So we go to great lengths to provide separate domiciles. Now, animals have a body and a soul even. That's how they interact with one another, but not a spirit. They do not have a frame of reference apart from being an animal. So they cannot be embarrassed by their animal functions. But we are body, soul, and spirit. And there's great evidence that we human beings are aware of the spiritual realm, a sphere above and beyond our bodily domain, so that we can look upon our base functions, those necessary to live and procreate, with a degree of discomfort, because I have a higher component of my existence. And we can look askance at our lower components. And that's why people who have moral substance to them despise pornographers, because they're dragging human beings into the sewer and making them behave like animals. And when there's entertainment like Howard Stern, and he brags he's so popular among young men aged 18 to 35 or whatever, no kidding. If you're making jokes about human waste and reproduction, yeah, a lot of moronic young men and lonely men who don't have a happy, loving relationship with a great wife and a good man who's being a great husband, yeah, they're desperate for that kind of petty and immature entertainment. But we have a body, soul, and spirit. And even though our body is vital and necessary for life on earth right now, we recognize that they are subservient aspects of who we are. And so as regards our community, we keep those aspects of our existence away from public view and private. I think about dirty jokes, and the name Bill Maher pops into my head from ABC's Politically Incorrect. I was on that show 3 or 4 times. I think shows that I did aired 4 or 5 times. They reran 1 or 2 of them. And even dirty jokes, everything provides evidence for God and the spiritual realm, everything. Bathroom humor, sexual jesting could not bring a laugh to animals. Not even a laughing hyena could get a chuckle out of a dirty joke. Jimmy Kimmel, in fact, I was on 2 shows with Jimmy Kimmel. And I called him what did I call him? He got so annoyed. I called him a crotch humorist. I said, you know, Hollywood used to have real comedians, and today we have crotch humorists like Jimmy Kimmel, who's now, I guess, has a show on network TV. But animals couldn't laugh at dirty jokes because they have no perspective, no frame of reference for considering such things funny, because that's who they are. These are simply a part of their bodily existence. Like when we breathe oxygen in and out, how many jokes do we have? How many TV sitcoms are centered around jokes around breathing? Well, none of them. But spiritual beings could look with surprise, shock, and even embarrassment, the stuff of dirty jokes, upon the lower functions of our physical selves. The clothing that we wear. Psychologically, why do we wear clothes? To protect us from harsh weather? Well, then, how about when it's nice out? Certain uncivilized tropical cultures adopted a minimalist clothing tradition, even almost naked. But in rejecting God, an individual's conscience can be seared, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and 2. Your conscience can be seared, and a culture's collective values can be lowered, but modesty pretty quickly returns to a culture, to women, and then it's not easily cast aside once the finer points of morality are reintroduced to cultures. So Christian missionaries go into Africa and teach the women to be modest, and then they are. And what, 3 years later, guys in the tribe are going to tell the women to disrobe and the women are going to just do it? No. If protection from the elements were the primary reason for clothes, then we'd cast them aside when we go indoors. But we wear clothing for moral reasons. Visual images encourage men to lust in their hearts. And because God wrote the law on the heart of man in our conscience, do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, culture has generally reinforced these prohibitions because it's on our conscience, generally. By the way, before I continue with that clothing, the main argument, let me make a side argument about the way women dress in public. And even they go to church, and at Denver Bible Church, I think the teaching is strong enough that women know that you need to be modest. You need to be a godly woman. And if one woman comes to church dressed inappropriately, and Joe Scott runs up to her and takes her sweater and puts it on the woman and said, "Honey, you forgot to dress this morning," wraps it around her, says, "You can't dress like that. There are men here." So, you know, in our culture tries to get even the youngest girls, like Britney Spears has taught millions of public school girls to dress like tramps. And they do. And it's really tragic. And their mothers and parents accept it. They've lost control. When your kids go to public school, there's a degree of control you've lost over your kids. And so the girls dress terribly like prostitutes. In Hollywood, by the way, you know, Madison Avenue, fashion, they have all their tricks, like dresses with slits in them. What is a slit for in a dress? Clothing that the outer layer is see-through. The goal of the world is to bring a man's intention underneath the woman's clothing. And they do that in a dozen different systematic ways so that the attention is brought under the clothing. And so if you know that, if you have that bit of insight, then when a mother is buying clothes for her daughter, for herself, she can be more wise and watch out what she's buying. But at any rate, clothing is more evidence of our spiritual component. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God clothed them because he wired us in such a way that when we knew that we should be ashamed of ourselves for being in rebellion against him, when we knew that, we would also feel naked physically. And clothing would be a symbol of our desire to have a spiritual covering, which is Jesus Christ. So this is Bob Enyar. I want to invite you to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, Sunday night, 6 o'clock Bible study. We're in the book of Acts. We have this, what we've just talked about is really just the introduction of our seminar, Does God Exist? And you could get volume one of that on DVD or VHS from us by calling us at 800-836-9278. I think that's $24.95. Is that right? Plus shipping and handling. Or you could go online at kgov.com, and look at our store, Bob's Materials, and you look at all the great videos we have. And you could check out the plot, the manuscript, our overview of the whole Bible. It's so neat to understand the Bible because what's so exciting about it is the confidence that it gives you in life. When you deal with others in business, neighbors, friends, and family, you come from a position of strength when you have a solid overview of the Word of God. And I've devoted 30 years to studying Scripture, and we offer the plot, our best-selling manuscript, available. In fact, you can listen to the plot teaching on MP3 CDs or audio tapes, or you can read the 330-page manuscript. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's 800-836-9278. Now I want to tell you about a wonderful school in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center. The number is 303-431-5653. Over 100 staff members, a beautiful 20-acre campus, Christ-centered, top academics, all for your children ages 2.5 years to 12th grade. That's Maranatha Christian Center, 303-431-5653. All right, Denver Bible Church Sunday. If you live in Colorado, come on out. We'd love to meet you. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Yeah.